you can't deny that there is a huge amount in the last few years around sexual abuse in all of the media. And what that means to that survivor who hasn't yet reached out is that it's becoming more and more difficult for them to park it, to not let it be too intrusive. And that's becoming incredibly difficult. And what we've seen in the last 6 months is an 80% rise in the number of individuals who are making contact with us across Hampshire and beyond. And that's a struggle then for agencies like ours and elsewhere to be able to respond in a way that's appropriate but also timely. We still have individuals who will completely misunderstand the impact of sexual abuse and say things like, well, why didn't they say something at the time? And actually, the majority of survivors of childhood sexual abuse, particularly where it's a member of your immediate or extended family, it can be decades before you reach out, it can be decades before you say anything.
With abuse that happens in a family environment, would you say that speaking out sometimes holds sort of extra perceived dangers because perhaps members of the family who weren't involved and don't know about it and other people's feelings within the family?
What you've got to remember is that when it's a member of your immediate or extended family, there are other members of your family, immediate or extended, who have an emotional investment in the alleged perpetrator. So you're going to be saying, my father did this, or my brother did this, or my uncle did this, or my grandfather did this, or my aunt did that. And actually, for that individual, other members of the family see them differently. So it's not like saying the scout leader. It's not like saying the man from the sweetie shop. This is within their home. And actually, they see that individual as being very different because perpetrators are incredibly skillful at being invisible, but also grooming other people around the child, not just the child. So it's actually really hard for them to take on board what your reality is. In my own case, my father was the perpetrator and I didn't disclose before he died, but my siblings have said since, I'm one of five and he abused four of us. My other siblings who were abused have said with all honesty that if I had said this before he died, in other words, I had reported or even stated it, that they would have denied the reality of their truth. It was only because he was dead that when this came out, that they felt able to say, yes, it had happened to them as well. And the other bit is, you're not protecting the perpetrator by being silent. You're actually protecting, when we talk about this emotional involvement, you're protecting somebody else. You're protecting somebody in the family who has an emotional involvement, an emotional dependency on the perpetrator. So in our case, it was our mother. So speaking of this, would have jeopardised her emotional safety, and it was clear that actually this was something she couldn't have taken on board, and we all individually, not knowing about each other, individually as children came to that consensus as we can't say this because she can't cope. And again, it's that bit, even though he's dead, will she manage, will she cope? So often you'll see adult survivors of familial sexual abuse will often disclose after those key individuals, the people who have the biggest emotional involvement with the perpetrator, them dying, which is why it can be decades.
What in your experience and the experience of some of the people you've worked with can be the lasting effects on somebody who, you know, who does hold it with them for decades before they speak out?
Some individuals might say that there's no impact, you know, they've learnt to live with it, and I was certainly one of those that you know, I didn't speak out until I was in my mid-40s, and up until that moment felt that this had been something that happened to me, but, you know, I was okay. But actually, when you start to look at it, it has had a huge impact. It has an impact on relationships. It has an impact on your health in terms of, even though I hadn't spoken about it, I certainly had stress levels that were quite high because holding a secret involves a lot of stress. So there were physical impacts on me. Being able to trust individuals, so you know, not being able to talk about things. So when people talked about things like, you know, Father's Day, Mother's Day, all of those things that would be pretty normal to other people, how do you respond to that? So there is an impact, and that's before we even start thinking about negative coping strategies like drugs and alcohol. So a lot of young people will turn to those kind of coping strategies initially just to get through the day because something bad is happening to them, and then that doesn't always go away. In my case, you know, my coping strategy was an eating disorder, so I'm not anorexic, I'm not bulimic, but I'm certainly overweight, and that's because I used to comfort eat. And again, lots of individuals will self-harm in lots of different ways, and I certainly as a young person self-injured. And what happened was people see that behaviour, so they see the self-injury or they see the negativity around somebody's acting out, and that's, you know, you're the person with the problem, rather than being able to see there's a problem here and you're trying to tell me, I wonder what that problem is. You're told there's a problem with you.